Macho Man! Oh, my name is Bob Babbitt, Breakfast with Bob. We are sponsored by Hoka One One Polar, Halo Neuroscience, Velafix, Today's Plan, Normatec. Our championship edition will be at Four Seasons Resort, Hawaii, and hopefully Mr. Andrew will be with us there. We're streaming on Triathlete Magazine, and please give it up for one of my favorite people on the planet, Mr. Andrew Starkiewicz.
You must not have many people on this planet.
There's a lot of people on this planet, baby, and you are one of the main guys, and what you've gone through this last couple years has been hell.
Yeah, it's been a ride. I thought the events of 2012, everybody said to my wife and I that we got through that. It was... it was incredible that we were able to get through something like what happened in 2012 with the whole Abu Dhabi thing.
Right.
And then, mentally that was just preparing us for, giving us a little bit of a challenge to prepare us for what's been going on the last 2 years.
For our audience, a couple years ago you're riding a bike and you get run over by a truck.
Yeah, 2 years ago, August 6th, it's 2016, I was bringing my daughter to gymnastics at 9:30, so I was out on an easy... just super easy morning ride, and just got run over.
And it dragged you under the truck.
Yeah, I went under the truck, and I was conscious the whole time, which is probably the best and worst thing in my life.
Yeah.
Because, I still 2 years later wake up kind of every once in a while in like a sweat and just remembering sounds or kind of the view of the truck running over my bike and my legs.
And your injuries were?
Broken leg, broken back, severe concussion, revolt, and since I've ended up with PTSD, TBI, all that other fun stuff. So, but worst things can happen.
Well, worst things is your little boy is born, and all of a sudden, you're back brace, leg brace, and little Xander's not breathing.
Yeah, he was 10 days old, and I had just put my daughter down, and my wife had just finished feeding him, and she says, "I think he stopped breathing," and we looked, and we watched him turn gray, and then blue, and I grabbed him and immediately started CPR, and she called 911, It was kind of one of those moments where, the next 10 weeks we lived in PICU, and it's kind of where I'm not going to say it formed or shaped my comeback, but, to sit there in an ICU and watch kids fight for their life just because they don't know any better, it kind of, had we had our son and he had no problems, or had we had... or had we not even had a child during that time, I would have laid there on the couch and had this why me thing. And, I sat and lived in an ICU. And, during his time in the ICU, I went from being in a wheelchair to being on crutches. And, I was able to get out of the boot by the time he was out of the ICU. And they figured out that it was epilepsy. And his seizures were not like the traditional shaking seizures. They were seizures that in which he would stop breathing. I got to give him CPR, I got to CPR the first time and then rescue breathing two more times, while we were figuring out and making multiple trips to hospitals, figuring out what it was. But, to experience that, it really makes you count your blessings. Cause I got to see kids, they didn't know any better. They just fought.
Yeah, every day. So getting back on the bike, that I'm sure that was something that motivated you. Right? Back on the bike and training again, a little bit of a relief to get away, but at the same time...
Yeah, during that whole process, I wasn't even healthy enough to do any of that. That kind of just, in essence, filled time.
Right.
It allowed my body to heal and get healthy. And then... starting in about, I think it was late December, I was finally, my back was strong enough that I was able to sit up on the stationary bike and just pedal, soft pedal. And, you know, they said you can ride for 20 minutes. And I was like, okay, how many times a day? And it was, you know, and we went, and pretty soon I was riding three times a day, an hour and a half, by the middle or end of January. So, you know, it was just these baby steps forward. And I mean, one of my coaches has always told me, inch by inch is cinch, yard by yard is hard. And I mean, the comeback into early 2017 was definitely an inch by inch thing. And you know, I mean, it was quite possibly the most special finish lines I ever got to have been in the last year and a half. I mean, winning my first race back in 2009 was an incredible accomplishment. You know, winning my first Iron Distance and Ironman was cool. But to get back to a finish line after, you know, I mean, I was told that, you know, when I got run over, the tendons to my foot got severed. So, I mean, anybody who knows anatomy, if you don't have tendons to your feet, you can't walk. And especially your big toe. And that one was fully severed and hanging out of my leg. And so they sewed that back together. And, you know, I just got really, really lucky that I was able to walk again. And so, you know, I was able to walk. And then, you know, so my first Ironman back was Texas 2017. And, I mean, I walked most of the run there. But getting to that finish line was
pretty sweet.
It was beyond sweet, and my run split beat my bike split by like 2 minutes.
So you're a big guy, so yeah. Heat is an issue for you.
Yes.
And this summer you went to Corey Stringer Institute, yeah, to work on that. And what did you learn about your body?
I'm screwed. So Javier, who was just up here, little information, he sweats 2 liters an hour at race pace, race temperature. So he's going to sweat about 5 liters an hour, 5 liters for the entire run. I sweat 4 liters an hour. So I will sweat about 12 liters on the run. And your body can absorb maybe 1.5 liters an hour if you get lucky. So, yeah, I'm screwed. Unless it's overcast, I'm in trouble. So.
But on race day, last year we had three guys. We had Lionel, we had Sebi, and Cam Werf bridge and make up 7 minutes and catch the guys by, you know, 60K or so out there on the bike course.
Mm-hmm.
Now we had another Uber cyclist, you, to the mix. How do you think that changes the game?
I mean, traditionally, at least, I mean, I haven't raced Werf or Sanders here, but the two times I've been here before, I've been going down Polani when Keenley gets on his bike. So
right.
It's a, we're Uber cyclists, but our talents, my talents lie in the swim bike. His,
yes,
are in the bike and run.
Right.
So it's we're both great bikers, but I mean, our races are separated by 5 minutes. And unless he's going to elevate his game in the water by 5 minutes, which I mean, I don't see happening.
Right.
Unless I just have a horrific swim.
Yes.
You know, I really think the only times we'll see each other is at turnarounds.
And so your philosophy will be get on the bike after that swim and just go hammer.
Is there any other option?
No.
I mean, this is a non-drafting race, right?
Yes, yes.
Right? And the rules, according to the rule book, are 12-meter draft zone. And so if it is a 12-meter draft zone, there's really no reason to stay in a pack. Because you're not getting any sort of an advantage.
None whatsoever.
Oh, okay. I'm just clarifying things. So when you see that long line, you guys can either agree or disagree on whether there's an aerodynamic advantage.
None whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah. So what are your goals here?
To win. I didn't come all the way back from not being able to walk, not being able to crawl, to finish second place. I mean, we are born, that sperm gets to the egg first. You're champion. You're number one. It's not the second sperm that got to the egg that ended up making you. It's the first one. Okay?
Number one, baby.
Yeah. If you ain't first, you're last.
Ricky Bobby, yeah, right here on our stage. Yeah. I love that.
I wake up in the morning and I piss excellence. I do. But you know, I mean, really, I mean, it's this. I don't understand this whole thing that a lot of people have of, you know, I'm going to go out and do the best that I can on the day. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do the best that I can, but I'm going to make moves to put me in a position to win the race, and I'm willing to blow up and have to walk the final 8 miles home if to put myself in a position to potentially be a world champion. I mean, I've won a lot of races. I've been on the podium a whole bunch. I would rather blow up trying to win this race than finish fifth place racing conservatively.
Really?
Yeah.
So
fifth place doesn't mean anything.
Nothing. It's only first or nothing.
First, it would be very, very nice.
And that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah. I mean, it's un-American to be anything other than a win. To race and be proud of second place. I mean, if I finish second place, I'm gonna be angry. I'm hungry. I mean, I am not the same athlete I was here in 2013 and 2014. I will never be that fit because I can't train that way because, you know, the injuries that I've gotten. I mean, I just can't. I can't deal with the pounding. I mean, you're not supposed to break your back. Did you know that?
Yeah, especially trying to be an endurance athlete after that run.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. But. You know, having come back, I mean, I didn't come back to give it anything less than my best. And, you know, I'm going to give it my best. But I'm also realistic. I want to win. There's nothing around it.
I couldn't agree more. Now, one of the guys who's racing who could possibly win as well.
Yeah.
Guy named Javier Gomez. Talk a little bit about Javier Gomez.
So, yeah, I mean, I've raced Javier for quite a few years. I think the first time we raced was 2010, maybe 2008, and I mean, I remember two races vividly. I remember LA Triathlon. It was Olympic distance non-drafting. He passed me like half a mile from the finish line, and like I was standing still, and Bevan Doherty won that day, and he was chasing Bevan down, like, I think he ran like the first mile, the final mile in like 4:21 or 4:20. I mean, I was happy with running like 5:40s.
Yes.
But, you know, and you lose a minute and 40 in the final mile. I mean, what the hell? But then, I mean, the one that I remember most vividly was I raced him in Panama in, oh gosh, I don't know what year it was anymore. Quite a few years ago. And it was a half Ironman, and it was like 98 degrees, and not the band.
Right.
And we went through like, I think it was like the mile 4 or mile 5 aid station, and I'm like slowing down almost to a walk and taking everything I can possibly get to get myself cool, and he skips the aid station to take the lead from me. And I'm like, that's just not right. That's not fair.
He's not human.
Yeah. I mean, of the athletes that I've raced, he is by far the anomaly. I mean, he can just... When he races, he's suffering. But man, when he passes you, it's something special. I mean, it's like I don't even run that fast in a workout where I'm sprinting when I'm sprinting 800s, and he does it for a half Ironman, and I'm like, this isn't even fair.
You were mentioning if there's one athlete to key on out here, you said it was going to be Javier Gomez, and I was like, well, he's never done this race before; he's a rookie. And you remember what you said to me?
He's the greatest one that ever walked the earth. He is the greatest triathlete. What you saw up here before me was the greatest triathlete to ever walk this earth. And makes me all the more that I want to kick his ass.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Andrew Starkiewicz. Pacho Man, take us out.